The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star Hoover, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Go Bears!
There it is. So I was waiting for it. We are going to learn this song.
I'm staring at the words, man. I love it.
The goal is to play this after every win or whatever. We might have several wins, you know, in between podcasts, right? But last week, I don't know, couldn't figure out how to get it going. I'm playing this from Hydra, Coach. Is that trust? Does that seem like a trustworthy thing to you? I don't know. But.
No. It sounds like, I told you out there, it sounds like an old school heavy metal band, Hydra.
Yeah, I don't know. So we were having issues getting it to pop up last week, but we got it done. And Coach, your Bears, 3-0. You can't win them all if you don't win the first three, right? I mean, I can use that for as long as we keep this winning streak going.
No doubt about it. No, you know, 3-0, there was a Fox Sports tweet, you know, something about teams are left undefeated. And there are 364 Division I teams in the country. And I don't know how many there are, maybe 30 or something like that. To be one of them is great. And, you know, it's early. It doesn't really matter in terms of the league, but you know, the fact of the matter is we're the only team left that doesn't have a loss in the Big Sky. And we haven't played as many games as some of the teams. Some teams are pushing 5-6 games. Now, we will be caught up after this next week, and when we go to the Portland Invitational, play 3 games in 3 days here. And again, you focus on the first game, right, which is an extremely awesome challenge against St. Thomas, who's really good. Out of the Summit League, and then we played a host team, Portland, out of the West Coast Conference, and we played Fullerton out of the Big West. That's a grinder, man. Mm-hmm. Summit to West Coast Conference, the Big West, 3 games in 3 days, but they got to play us too. And it's great, but yeah, I mean, to be 3-0 right now, I feel great about it. That Pepperdine win, which I'm sure will take a good chunk of what we talk about today, was a huge win for the program.
Well, and what I like too, and yeah, it, completely different schedule, because you basically have been on the one game a week kind of thing, it feels like.
Yeah.
But then bam. You're going to get 3 games knocked out this weekend, and then it'll kind of round out to getting probably more into that 2 games a week kind of thing.
That's right. And, you know, 3 games in 3 days, and then really it's like 5 games in 8 days, because we get home like at midnight Sunday night. We're at Air Force the following Wednesday, and then Thanksgiving Thursday, and then Regis is here on Saturday. So it's like 5 games in 8 days. What a great opportunity. If you're a player, we practice yesterday. Today's an off day. It's Tuesday. It's not Thursday. It's Tuesday. But today's an off day, but you know, we told the guys yesterday, we got back Sunday, and we can talk about the travel. Like, there's so many adjustments we had to make. It was crazy out there in Malibu. But we said, hey, this is like our only like legitimate day to practice in terms of on Monday, because Tuesday off, Wednesday, you know, light prep work, Thursday, travel day, prep day. Then we play 3 games in 3 days, walk through the following Monday. Like, we've already got it planned out, but the only day we could really get better at us and forget about the scouting and this and that was yesterday. Awesome practice. Guys did a great job. We just have a really mature team. They get it. But, 3 games in 3 days coming up. And it's like, well, why would you ever agree to do that? I love it, because what we're trying to do is begin with the end in mind, right? Mm-hmm. And the end is you got to win at Boise. And based off your seating and stuff, you could play 3 games in 3 days. And have to win a tournament on fumes. So the 3 games in 3 days, it's that Fullerton game on Sunday, and it's actually a morning game. It's an 11 a.m. game. Mm,
that is a weird one.
Woo!
Yeah.
So the beauty of it, though, is that when you play that game, that you are going to be tired. It's going to be limited prep work, right? There's just not enough time to prepare full scout and this and that. And that's kind of what you're going to feel if you're lucky enough to get to the championship in the Big Sky tournament. You just got to go out there and play, and you got to grind through it. So, like, I love finding ways to replicate to our team and give them some vision. Like, hey, we're doing this 3 games in 3 days because this is what you will feel physically in Boise if we can get that far. And I think they buy into it.
Well, and I was going to ask, like, how much, you know, because this tournament, obviously this weekend, and then we're talking Big Sky tournament is what, early March?
March.
Early March. So I was going to ask the question, like, how much does that, you know, with all that space in between, how much does it help? But you've referred back to so much of me knowing you, your foreign trip that you guys take,
yeah,
and how you use that kind of all, pretty much throughout the course of the season, too, is like, you bonded here. This was, yeah, a unique experience. How did we, when the chips were down in this situation, you've used that a lot throughout the course of your regular season, too, that just that little extra experience. And then these aren't, yeah, just games. These are stacked games, which would be simulating what the Big Sky Conference tournament would be.
It's really like storytelling. Like, I love listening to different podcasts and reading different books and, you know, leadership and all this different stuff. And so, like, one of the things that is a consistent theme in all this stuff, and the new one is, I think the guy's name is David Sinra. He has this podcast called Founders. It's extremely boring. I don't listen to it because he reads all these autobiographies, and he'll read like 6 or 7 autobiographies of literally the greatest business success people of all time. He'll just talk. I can't do the one I know podcast. I can't do it. I need conversations.
Yeah.
But he created a version of it because he would take these people to dinners and they would talk for 4 hours, and they're like, dude, you should just record this as a different podcast, and it's just us talking about stuff. And so he had like Michael Dell from Dell Computers, and then he had the Raising Cane's guy. Awesome story. So I've heard that guy talk twice. But whether it's that, whether it's talking about, I just read Sam Walton's book, the Walmart guy.
Yeah,
now, he's been passed away for years, but still a phenomenal book. So many of these people, they swear by the art of storytelling, and for me, it's like we're trying to present a vision, a story for the guys. Yeah, this is in November. This doesn't correlate until March, but can we, like, this is the dog days already, in the sense, like, dude, man, we're 3 games, 3 days, but we're trying to find a way to paint a vision saying, hey, look, you're going to have to find a way physically to get through 3 games in 3 days. Let's do it now so we can do it in March. And so we can go back to the Wyoming game, right? Whatever. It's an exhibition. I was so mad with last game. Hey, Wyoming's pretty good.
Yeah. They're looking very
they're
good.
They're 4-0. Yep. They've been blowing it out everybody, all these different teams. And I was mad we lost to the buzzer. But it wasn't about that. It was painting a vision that let's go play a neutral site game in Gillette, Wyoming. That's not where they play. But with a road crowd. Because if we get to Boise and get to a championship, you're going to be on a neutral court in Boise. No one plays there per se. But it's not going to be a neutral crowd because you have to beat a Montana, Montana State, Idaho, Idaho State, Weber State. All those teams can drive crowds in. We can't. It's too far. So unless you play like Sacramento State, Portland State, which that's possible too, you're going to have a road atmosphere. Same reason we played South Dakota State in Brookings last year. In Rapid City. I'm tripping. In Rapid City. So the idea of that was like, let's agree to do that because it's a neutral court. Neither one of us play in Rapid City, but it was a massive road challenge. So the point being that, like, we're trying to storytell with these guys. We're trying to paint a vision with these guys. And I love it. I love the idea of saying, hey, 3 games in 3 days is nuts. But you know what? Those teams we played, they're going to feel the same thing. They're going to have the same lack of preparation we are. And it's something that we can use as a vision, as a story to tell our guys as we move through the year.
Well, and it's kind of a, not a refresher, but it is, it gets them used to, because physically how demanding that is to know, okay, did you not fall asleep fast enough? You know, did you not take care of yourself? Did you not have a good night's sleep? And then,
hydration.
You were dragging the next day. You weren't taking care of your body. Remember how you felt day two.
That's right.
Or even day three of that. If assuming we get there, remember what you felt like if you did the right things versus if you did the wrong thing. Not saying these guys are going out partying not sleeping and such.
Look, I texted them Sunday, got back, say, great job. Like, two of the next 3 days are off, Sunday and Tuesday. Nutrition, hydration, we got to get on it. And so here's the deal. I'm glad you bring this up, Brady. It's like, okay, so we have all the modalities, the portable Normatex, which those are like things for their legs. That they put their legs in these sleeves, and it's got cold ice running through, cold water running through it, but it's not enough. So our trainer, Maddie, she said, hey, we're cool to get like extra ice and stuff in this trip for all the ice baths and hotel. And so this room's got to have the bath shower in it, right?
Yeah.
So we go through, and it's like the same thing we do in Boise. It's like we're loading up ice and ice after every one of these games. And these guys got to hop in ice baths in their rooms because you're on the road. You don't have a ice bath. So we played Quinn, Brock, and Zach over 40 minutes against Pepperdine because it was an overtime game. But – you have to be able to proactively prepare for this type of physical grind. And I love it because I don't want the first time that all of our guys feel this stuff to be with the season on the line in Boise. Let's have it now. Hey, what if we lose the first game to St. Thomas? Treat it like a win. Act like it's a win. We just advanced.
Yeah.
So we're trying to do all these little you know, mental games with our guys too. So, and even going back to like the, you know, as we talk about Pepperdine, that was a one-off, right? So I could play these guys, you know, I played Ring 36 minutes or something like that. And then we had foul trouble. Ebu had foul trouble. We had foul trouble all over the board, but we had some guys that didn't get in the game. Humor, Burkita, Chance got in like 8 minutes. I know I'm probably missing, but guys that could play and are good enough, Hunter Caldwell, guys that are good enough to play. Walker Asp, he's back, he's cleared. But I told those guys that, I said, don't be demoralized. Oh man, I'm not going to play this year, you know. No, that was a one-off game. So I could play Quinn as many, but like, I can't do that on a Big Sky Thursday, Saturday game.
Right.
I certainly can't do it in Portland 3 games in 3 days. We'll have no chance on Sunday if I play these guys every minute. So like, be ready to go, be ready to go. So we're trying to keep the motivation going too, because it's all true.
Well, and this is great because, you know, watching that game and then ultimately looking at the box score, seeing, okay, you got, this was a 9-man rotation for the most part,
yes.
which again, you know, Chancellor played just a few minutes,
yep.
4 minutes, whatever. So that was what I wanted to bring up in this edition was kind of like, from what you're saying, it's like, this could change a lot throughout the course of the season. This was a one-off, so this is where we're going to go this situation, but that will change.
It could change, or even more, probably the more appropriate word is increase. Could increase. You know, getting a guy 10-11, and I think especially when you got games stacked on games, when it's a one-off game and we don't have foul trouble, we can really keep it tight. Now, I think the current configuration in terms of like the roster top 8 guys is kind of what it was. And so the starting lineup, and then, you know, Ring played 36 minutes. Egan had probably the best game of his life, that's our expectation. He's good, man. He played 27 minutes.
Yeah.
Vincent Delano had a great game, and it was great to see him play great and, man, he's got speed, he's got quickness, he's got great IQ intelligence, but he hadn't been not just necessarily shooting it well, but also finishing well or making the right reads, and he made the right reads. He looked really good. So feel good about that, but at the same point in time, it's like, you know, you talk about the turnovers. We had way too many turnovers, and the guys that were the biggest culprits were Brock and Quinn. And I attribute that to two things, because they don't turn the ball over. One is, and I told the guys after we played Colorado College and Colorado Christian, that week of prep for Pepperdine, I said, guys, I don't have a lot of negative things to say. You approach those games right. You played really well to win as big as you did. So there's not a lot of negative things to fix. But the one thing we didn't have the last week of these two games, Division I size and physicality. And we need to replicate that in practice, because not only are we playing a Division I team, a West Coast Conference team, this Pepperdine team is massive,
mm-hmm.
and they are physical. They're going to be one of the best rebounding teams. I was extremely concerned and impressed by their ability to rebound. Now, what was so great about it is we crushed them on the glass, out-rebounding these guys by 9.
Yeah.
That's been something that I've seen us do a lot this year. The only team that kind of was able to match up with us on the glass so far is Wyoming, but I felt great about it. But I think the turnovers, Quinn and Brock as examples, is that the physicality and the size of Division I teams, those windows aren't as big as you think they are. So Quinn forced a couple passes that just weren't there, and same with Brock. But I think that was one thing. The other thing, though, is I think there were some tired mistakes. I do. I think there were some tired mistakes from, you know, those two as an example. And it goes back to the point, you can't play these guys 40 minutes, 3 games in a row. They're just going to run out of gas. And so we got to make sure we use, you know, our roster, our bench, and to see, you know, the guys that got a chance to play, Ring, Egan, Vince, they were awesome. And that's a big shot in the arm. And you look at what Vince had, 14 points, mm-hmm. Egan had 8, Ring had 6, there's 28 points up the bench. How about Ring having 10 rebounds and 5 blocks? Right? Egan had 7 rebounds. So that was great production. And we have other players that didn't have a chance to play in that game, but we'll get the opportunity. Chance, limited minutes, Tanner Burkita, Will Humer, et cetera, that it's like, hey, we got a bench. We got a real bench and we got to use it. And we didn't need to necessarily go too deep because it's a one-off game, a down and back. But when you start talking about 2 games in 3 days, 3 games in 3 days, 5 games in 8 days, that bench is critical.
Well, let's talk about Ring and those five blocks. When you talk to us about him in the offseason, we talk about how long he is, and
it's real.
You go just watching him. You know, when I was at practice 2 weeks ago, again, that's just a different feel than the game. But he looks like he's floating. Like he just kind of is float. He just moves like a gazelle. Yeah, like he glides,
man.
And he gets to the rim so easily. On the defensive side, he does that too. I would expect a lot more big block games from him.
Well, and most of those blocks were off ball. Reading off ball, he reminds you so much of Bodie Hume. Bodie Hume led us in blocks, and it was not on the ball. It was off the ball. Guy gets beat. He's got those instincts come over, and literally Ring saved us like three times off ball blocks. And yeah, he's got, not a ton of guys got the wingspan he has, but some do. But you gotta have the wingspan and the instinct. And he's got the instinct to do it. He's got an amazing instinct and timing. Stay down, and he knows to jump after they jump. And yeah, and again, he is almost like a freshman. He played very minimal minutes last year at UMKC. So like, in terms of ceiling and improvement and growth, because he plays so hard. He's gonna get better and better and better.
I'm excited to see what he does kind of as this season rolls on.
Oh, yeah.
But let's go into the big three. We got to start with Quinn Danker. I mean, you talked about the rebounding too and how you want to be that team that's, you know, just outboarding guys. Yeah. There's going to be matchups though where maybe as far as the bigs go, they are going to be a little more physical, maybe outmatch sometimes. Brock on that said, how much of a luxury is having a point guard in Quinn Danker that can go mix it up and get rebounds like
this? Oh, it's critical. You know,
he's so feisty, man.
So feisty. He's tough. And, you know, even watching the film, we watched so much film yesterday as a team, and he did a good job, but there was a couple times, you know, where he's contesting shots in the perimeter. He didn't take his mandatory two hard steps in. And so there's still room for growth, but like, yeah, he can really rebound it, you know, and he's going to have games where he's going to get 10 rebounds. You look at it, he had 26 points.
Yeah.
He did that against Wyoming. He did it in our secret scrimmage. But then in our first couple, he didn't really score that much. He had 10 assists. He's had a 10-rebound game. He is going to float around and mess around and be in that triple-double conversation, I think.
I was just getting ready to ask, like, when's that first triple-double?
I don't know. But what's cool about it is, like, he can help us in so many different ways. It's not about scoring or just assisting. Like, he just kind of can do what the game needs him to do. I think he had our first 6 points of the game. Could have had our first 8 or 10, but yeah. And then it's getting other guys involved. He's got a great feel for things, and he's super aggressive. We need him to be.
26 points for him, and then Brock Wisney and Zach Block both put in 16 points. Brock with his 10 boards. Obviously, the turnovers he was pretty upset with. As upset as Brock can be, in person, one-on-one. He's not like, on the floor is a different guy, maybe. But, yeah, in the studio, he's just like, I was like, man, still a nice game. You know, I'm trying to be positive.
Yeah, it was a great game.
And he's like, yeah, I almost had the triple-double with the turnovers. You know, I almost got to 10 turnovers there, so I got to clean that up. But just such a great attitude about it. He's like, no, I have to fix that.
Yeah, well, and the thing too is like, you know, he easily could have had about a 20-10 game at 16-10. Missed, he had a great drive, kind of had his little Brock spin into just a little 3-4 foot shot. He never misses it. He missed it and it just happens. And then he had a great post up that he never misses and he misses. Like he easily could have got 20-10. But how about, you know, for those that watched, the three he banged in overtime, he hit two threes.
That three felt like that was the big separator there.
Huge. Yep. And his confidence is through the roof on the stuff. So, and then you go to Zach and, you know, had a great game. The winning plays, the charge he took, when he got the ball was rolling around, he grabbed it, he dove into a guy's, guy was trying to pick it up, he dove, grabbed it, called the timeout. Critical. But then 71-71, not the last shot of the game for us, but the second to last possession of the game. And we called the timeout and we ran a play we hadn't ran all year. We've done it in practice a little bit and we hit him with it and it was the weak runner. And Zach got stripped. You know, he got stripped of his defender and he bangs the three. I'm like, oh, we're winning this game.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, the guy Styles Phipps comes down. He'd made 1-3 all year coming to the game. He made 1-3 last year, 1-3 the whole year. Made 1-3 coming to the game, hit his third three and it was contested. Quinn did a good job, but he bangs a pull-up three, which is the hardest three to make. Contested. And that's like, this might not be our night. You know, we kind of gave the game away with the turnovers. We didn't even get a shot off in the last play. We kind of fumbled it around, but, you know, go to overtime and we start off up 8-0 in overtime.
Just huge.
Great resolve by the guys.
To start it, was that, cause you, it was, Shields was in overtime, right? And he got free throws right off the bat.
He did.
And then you get the three-pointer from Brock Wisney.
That's right. Those were our first five.
Which was, I always, you know, again, it doesn't always tell the full story, but in overtime, it just seems like, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, but mentally, if you can quickly get that 4-point, 5-point lead in overtime, man, you guys, you start to believe you take the life out of it.
And what was cool about it too is we pulled the playoff first play of overtime that we had held in there. They were off ball switching. They morphed their defense. They go from a coverage, and when they're in a ball screen coverage where they don't switch ball screens, but they're in coverage, they don't switch anything. But then when they get to switch ball screens, they switch everything. Handoffs, softball, it just turns into this. So this young in the season, we threw a bunch of preparation at our guys, which is easy for the Quinns, ex-Brocks, but it's really hard for the Reeks, Ebus, Rings, those guys, because, man, we're throwing a lot of stuff at them. And we might not even use it. I hate doing that. I hate filling their heads full of stuff that we might not use. Mm-hmm. But lo and behold, for first play overtime, we hit him with a hitter that we hit Montana State with last year when they were off ball switching. And that's how Egan got to the free throw line. And great execution. We ran it great. He got below the guy and they had to foul him. And that's the thing, is like, you got to be mentally engaged. Let's talk about the adjustments or the struggles of the trip. You ready for this? All right. First one is, how about a government shutdown? Denver's got one of 40 airports that has affected 10% flights. So the first thing we're thinking is, okay, about a week ago, this is our first flight. What if our flight gets canceled? Because flights are getting canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we going to do? So we're talking about that. And we don't charter. Like, we don't have that $80,000 a charter trip. So it's just not what it is. So we're talking to administration, the business office, like, what if we get canceled? What do we do? And we got to the realization, like, okay, even if they cancel our flight from Denver to Burbank, it's Southwest, there's at least Burbank, LAX, Long Beach, right? There's enough airports that Irvine, that even if they were just shooting us all over the place, we're still probably get there, right? It's like, okay, let's just roll the dice. So we got out there, no issues. The second issue is, not Pepperdine's fault, but they had a volleyball game that day. No practice day of game. We knew that going into it. So, and that's not typical. Usually you practice the night before, you get to practice the day of the game, so you get two hits. So now it's like that night before, guys, when we get there, we're going a little bit longer, and we're going to do a little bit of the game-based stuff with the shooting. You got to get used to the shit, and we get one chance. So that's a little different. So then, hey, Malibu, it's 75 and sunny every day, right? No. Mm. The two worst days of weather they've had all year. It was a monsoon.
Wow.
It's a flood watch. So, all right, whatever, smiley flood watch. Here's the deal. So we get there. We didn't see the sun for 2.5 days. My wife's complaining about how nice it is out here. She's like, it's too hot. I want it to be cold. Thanksgiving. I was like, I would die for the sun right now. I never saw the sun for 3 days. Mental health issues, depressed, right? So anyways, we get out there and we get to practice, but their ops coach called Coach Colin Goss. Our ops coach said, hey, here's the deal. We're under a flood watch. If it floods, they will shut down your road so we're like at the top of the hill. In Calabasas, kind of like Saguaro, Calabasas, something like that. Segura, I don't know. We're not by the gym. Like there's no hotel by Pepperdine University. This is the wealthiest place in the country, right? It's Malibu, man. And by the way, I never saw the ocean in 2 days too. So you're up about 20 minutes away, but you're inland 20 minutes. Okay. He said, if they shut this road down, they only shut it down to the charter bus. They won't shut it down to, like, you know, cars or vans, but like, you have a bus here, we got a bus. They'll shut it down. You have to drive an hour and a half around and hit the PCH to get to the gym. Just be aware of that. It won't hurt you on Friday, but it could hurt you on Saturday. So Colin Wisely tells you, what do you want to do? You know, we're in this budget crisis, right? Everyone's seen it. You know, you have this deficit at UNC. Like, you can't just be wasting money. But I'm like, look. So I reached out to admin. Say, hey, here's the deal. We are going to get 4 rental vans. In addition to our bus, if the road closes, if it floods. So there's no flood for it, but it's pouring. We wake up Saturday, it's pouring. I said, Colin, what's the drop dead date on the rental cars? When does the rental car place close? 2:00. Game's at 6. So I said, all right, we got to make a decision by 1:00. If we're going to go, well, how do you even get the rental cars? So the bus guy, his name is Yuri. Yuri's going to have to drive 4 coaches to get the bus or to get the vans for a backup. Well, 1:00 was the drop dead date. 1:30 is when we're going to walk through the scout in the hotel because there's no practice at Pepperdine. So we got the court taped up in the hotel. And then 2:00's team meal. So 12:30, Colin says, all right, what do you want to do? Get the vans. It is pouring. I mean, I'm like, it just doesn't look good. The road hadn't shut yet, but it's flood watch, flood warning, all this different stuff. We can't risk loading up at 4 o'clock. The road's closed. Now we got to go from getting down there at 4:30. We're going to get there at 5:30 for a 6 o'clock game. We're going to lose. Mm. So we have four vans. So every coach except myself and Coach Reed, because it was his scout, the Pepperdine scout, they load up with Yuri in the charter bus. Yuri drives them into Twin Oaks to the rental car place. We have four vans.
Yeah.
We get the four vans. Yuri drives back. His day's over. He's chilling. The vans come down. And the idea was, okay, we know we can get the vans down the mountain, right? Even if they close the road, you can get the vans through, so we got to do it. So now we walk through in the hotel. There's no practice there. Walk through. And this is like the maturity of the team. You can't do this with a young team. They'll be a mess. Man, coach, we didn't get to the gym. But it's Quinn, it's Zach, it's Brock, it's Will Humor. I know he didn't play. He is a massive leader for our team. Guys, you better approach this right. So we're in this like little room, and there's like these lights that are like right in the middle of our court. Guys are in there. It's just walking through with a fake ball, but we're dialing in. The play that we did in overtime to get Ian to look for the free throws, we introduced on a practice court in a hotel that was like the size of this room.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
So you go there. We walk into the gym. Hey, locker room's flooded. I'm not kidding. The locker room is flooded. So we're like, what do you mean? They're like, well, you know, so we got some, you know, makeshift chairs and this and that. And we're like, whatever, man. I'm an old school JUCO coach, man. Like, I don't need nice things. Cool, man. So they moved our guys to this main area, moved the coaches to like the stalls, like the shower stalls. So we're in the shower stalls. Like, hey, do you want that? Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. Put our bags there. Keeps flooding and flooding and flooding. So we're cool. Get ready for warmups. No issue. The room we're supposed to be in, it's literally flooded. So I got all these like vents and ACs. I'm in there about 50 minutes before the game. I'm not kidding, Brady. I know I'm going off the rails.
No. This is good.
20 water polo dudes in Speedos walk right through our room to the, I'm like, what is going on? So I walk out. I'm like, I don't care. But I'm like, look, they're walking right through where we're going to meet to this other room, which is clearly their locker room. I said, Colin, we got a problem, man. These dudes, this is 3 minutes before guys come back in for our preparation talk. I'm like, I got all these polo dudes. I'm going to be in there getting riled up. We're going to be teaching, talking, whatever it is. We can't have these dudes in Speedos walking through. He's like, no. So he grabs their Dobo. The guy's like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, man, like these dudes. It's, oh, crap. So, yeah, they're in this other room. He goes, the guy running, he goes, do not go back, go through the back doors. I told the back doors, we have guys in Speedos. So we get through. Halftime, we're up 10. Zach bangs a shot, 41-31. We start walking to our locker room. Our guys are going the other way. I'm like, what are these idiots doing? Because there's not that much time, right? Yeah. Like, we got to calibrate. They got to calibrate. Mm-hmm. They got to put a board up. And then we got to come in there. You got 20 minutes. You got like six. They're going the wrong way. I'm like, yo. And then somebody's like, no, the locker room flooded even more. You're out of there.
Oh, my God.
Like, what? So now it's like flooding in there. So now it's like to the point, okay, we better pick up our bags off the floor. So like, I got, you know, phones in your bag.
Are you kidding me?
So they put us in their team film room.
So they're moving you around.
They moved us at halftime because we flooded even more.
So now it's like, gosh.
So we go, so now I'm like, we probably have a board up, but there's a board. So our guys wrote their little things up, the good and bad and stuff. And no one's panicking. We're up 10. We go through. I mean, it's such a zoo. Like, it wasn't like there's a crazy crowd. There are enough people there. Like, we're walking through student sections. It's just this. It's nuts.
This is insane.
We win the game. So, listen, we win the game.
No idea this was going on if you're just watching.
Yeah. We win the game, and we walk out. We get ready to go to our locker room, and we don't let a ton of people in our locker room afterwards, but my former players get in. Now, Dre Spy was supposed to show up. He didn't show up, but Josh Adeyeye, not a Bear, but a former Smiley guy, turning into a relatively famous actor. So, Snowfall reboot, he's on it.
I think in one of our first episodes, you've talked about him.
So, Josh, every time we're in SoCal, he's going to be there. So, Josh comes in. Now, he's 6'3", 270 with 3% body fat. That's not a lie. He is just a mammoth. So, he's walking in there. He's like, hey, man. I'm like, Josh, you know you got to get in this locker room with us, right? So, half our team still knows Josh from last year. Now, usually he'd come talk to the team, do all. He's amazing. But this year, we didn't have time for all this chaos. So, comes in after, you got Josh, I'm like, he's like, what is going on? I'm like, hey, this is just like our old junior college. It's a flood in our locker room. We're like tiptoeing around. So we got it done. And then the craziest thing is after it's all done, they had repurposed the gym. It was Pepperdine's homecoming. They're on football. So all these people are dressed up in these nice three-piece suits and the dresses and stuff. So We rolled in there in minivans and beat them and destroyed their homecoming.
Oh, okay. Wait, so who's driving the minivans?
Four coaches.
The coaches are driving the minivans.
Yes.
They're not happy
about it.
It takes you back to like, those.
Oh, we rolled up in minivans.
Summer camp type stuff, man.
Never saw the ocean. And for those that have been, or just if you're bored, just Google Pepperdine.
Yeah.
It is literally one of the five most beautiful campuses, if not the most, in America. And as you walk up these steps to the arena, it's a Firestone Fieldhouse. You walk up, you turn around, you have the whole Pacific Ocean in front of you. It's like literally picturesque. It's one of the most amazing things. It's one of the most exciting things. I was like, I'm so excited for guys to see it. We never saw it. It was just bludgeoning rain everywhere. I told
this is great.
The refs came up, we made a challenge. We made our first challenge of the season. And we were successful. It was a debacle. But I rolled the dice. We went to the challenge. Got it right. The ref comes up. He goes, hey, man, it's a good challenge. I said, hey, none of us are getting out of here. I said, I don't know if you know how bad it is outside. But, like, we didn't think we were going to be able to get home. And then the funny thing is when it was finally was all done, we kind of got out of the homecoming. The rain stopped for, like, 30 minutes. We got out of there.
Wow.
So our hotel was flooding.
So our hotel, go back to that.
The hotel, the back stairwell right by my room, just flooding. It was like – monsoon rains.
So what would have happened? Okay, I have a couple questions. If worse comes to worse, you can't get out there. The roads are, you just reschedule this game? Or how does that process go? Or if you can't fly out, whatever. If the worst case scenario in all of these travel situations,
like the flight, like the flight thing, and this is like, you know, for our budget, there's a money game. It's like, we have to play this game.
Yeah.
Win or lose. We
might just stay there for
we need this money.
Yeah.
We need the money.
Plus,
like,
it's their homecoming too.
And it's a homecoming and they need, like, you can't just like, so I think what would have happened is, like, if the gym flooded, like, there was legitimate humidity and issues in the gym, too. If you watch, there's guys slipping a little bit every time out. You know, there was – it was
wow,
really interesting. And it's something they don't ever deal with. Like, it's always dry out there. Like, it's just SoCal, right? The Santa Ana winds and, you know, fires. And, like, it's more about that than rain. So, like – and my aunt Jeannie was there, right? I see her, like, once a year. Aunt Jeannie, Aunt Ray, and Cousin Tommy. So Cousin Tommy, I say, hey, come on up, man, to the game. They left early to get out because of the inclement weather. They didn't want to get stuck. They left for like 3 minutes left in the game. But Aunt Jeannie, the next day, she's like, yeah, we haven't, those are two worst days we've had all year. We haven't had rain in like 6 months.
Oh my gosh. That makes you feel good, right? But this is so great. I'm actually going to clip this last segment, and I'm going to put this on the whole show tomorrow because I want to hear this. I want our listeners to hear this because when we watch this game, nobody's thinking anything. Because again, the cameras only allow you to see so much. So we're not even seeing your guys walking away, going to a different location where the old, to a different spot.
Yep.
So we're not seeing any of that stuff. It's hilarious. Brock stayed pretty much true to the X's and O's of the game. Like, he didn't go into the travel stuff. And that's hilarious.
But
I love this could be its own thing. Like, the travel tales sometimes.
But this is the thing.
This
is what people don't understand, especially at this level. We don't charter flights and this and that, so you're at the whims of commercial flights. And, a flight gets canceled. What do you do? And it's different. Like, your football team, they charter. You can't commercial 100 guys, right? Like, 100 guys on one flight, that's impossible. So they got to charter. But, at our level, we commercial. That adds in a lot of potential issues, right? That's why we love when we can play DU and Air Force and CU. Like, removing that element of travel is really nice. And it's really nice for the budget, too, but it's just nice to be able to drive and control that. But, yeah, there's so many things that can go wrong in these things. No one knows. But there's two things with our guys. One, nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Our locker room's flooded. Nobody cares. We're going to go win the game.
Yeah.
And that's like, we go to Portugal. We're in this gym. There's no AC. It's like 90. Nobody cares. Get some water in you. We're going to monitor hydration and I don't know, whatever you got to take to keep it. But, like, nobody cares. But the other thing is that it's been a mantra in our program. I'm sure maybe I stole this from Linder. Maybe it's mine. I don't have a clue, but I love it. TGOA. And everyone it's kind of a one-over thing. The great ones adjust. Because that's all you're doing in life. We have a plan for the podcast, and then boom, next thing you know, it didn't record. And then you got to bring Mike in here.
It's always my least favorite time of the podcast.
But that's what it is. Like, you just got to adjust.
Yeah.
So, like, nobody cares. Like, and wait, you mean we don't have a practice the day of the game? That's not a volleyball game. Nobody cares.
That's insane.
And I told the guys Friday, I said, use this as a blessing because we will not in Portland. When we played 11 a.m., you think I'm getting you guys up at 6 a.m. to go shoot around? No. No.
Yeah.
So, like, use this example for the next. Like, that's just what it is.
Well, and we just talked about this, like, what this Portland tournament is going to, you know, be and help you guys with down the road. Got to imagine a situation like this is going to make a lot of the travel situations not seem so frantic or hectic or whatever.
And it's, you know, shout out to Colin, you know, my ops coach and assistant coach Colin Gossett, presenting issues early, like, hey, just, and he kind of peeks his head, hey, coach, just so you know, there's no practice day of the game. Now, we only played him twice. The last time we played him was with Coach Linder. And when we played him then, like, this is like a decade ago, it was the same thing. We practiced the night before, but we were so deep into LA, so deep inland in terms of the hotel we were at, the day of the game with that LA traffic, we're like, we're not going to drive an hour and a half to practice. Like, we're not going to waste 3 hours of driving. Let's just let these guys rest, and it's good weather. And let's just, you know, do a walkthrough in the parking lot or whatever it is. That was my plan, you know, because we didn't have a great space to walk through in the hotel, but I didn't realize it was going to be a monsoon. So I was like, we'll just walk outside. It's the best weather in the country, right? And so, like, but you just got to, again, you have to storytell a little bit. You got to paint a picture and storytell and say, hey, this isn't a big deal. Well, if they feel like it's a big deal to you, then they do panic.
You have to keep it a positive approach too. And this is what, again, getting to know you, especially over this podcast and your background too, knowing who you are, like, you're going to roll through through the punches, man. And so many, your players, they feel that. They hear that.
Yeah.
If you're frantic, like, are you kidding me? We're a Division I basketball. Well, Mother Nature doesn't care about any of that stuff.
Doesn't matter.
And here you are, like, hey, we're just going to try to make the best of it. We got dudes walking with Speedos, interrupting our meeting.
It was crazy.
About to interrupt, but we got to just, and now you make a fun story out of this.
Yeah.
Man. That's going to stay with these dudes. It's going to stay with you forever.
I wasn't concerned about the Speedos, but what I was concerned about is that a couple of guys had started walking back with they were doing practice. So they have like a pool behind the gym or something. I don't know. But they were clear. I mean, they were like straight out the pool. It wasn't the rain, it was the pool. And so it's like, okay, so they go through, okay, they're in there, but then they were starting to walk right back through the locker room. So you envision I'm in there in the middle of, not that I'm giving this, you know, Rudy Notre Dame speech, but like, hey, this is all the operational strategic stuff. We're doing all this stuff. And then three swimmers walk back through to leave the gym. That's not going to work. Mm-hmm. That is a distraction. So,
right.
Yeah, but it's like you see, see something, say something, right? So I saw a bunch of guys in Speedos. Colin, we better fix this quick. We have 3 minutes. He's like, what?
Colin, that's an interesting one too, because, you know, when you guys are in game day, you're in game mode, you know, you're gearing up mentally, all this stuff. Colin's got to be the guy to come be like, hey, I got to deliver news that's not anything related to, it's related, but it's not, it's going to be negative.
It's
going to be like a bunch of negative stuff here. And for, you know, for him to have to deal with that with you and then for you to handle that, because that could go, there's a handful of coaches I can think of right off the top of my head that would explode at that kind of thing and then just make the whole day bad. And then we're looking at an 88-81 Pepperdine win instead.
No doubt about it. No, I mean, first thing is don't shoot the messenger, right?
Yeah.
And then two, I'm always like, hey, just tell him, just let me know so we can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And we always talk about two is control your, one of our phrases too, one's great, one's just, one is control your logistics. If we can control our logistics, like we had a staff meeting yesterday, and we looked at our calendar for the week and walked through that, but we looked at the itinerary for the entire Portland trip and said, okay, how are we going to monitor the food, the film work, the live scouting after our games for the next opponent? Like, what are we doing? We're talking about that on Monday for games on Friday. We got to have a vision of what we're doing so we can relay the message.
Man, that is awesome. Thank you for sharing
that. Stuff.
No, I love this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because this is stuff that if I would have just got you on for a regular segment on the whole show, it probably would have been a little bit of that. Maybe you just say, hey, we had some travel issues. But really you're looking at the game. Nobody has a clue that this stuff is going on.
Nobody.
And then that's why this win. And then, you know, they're making a run in that second half and you guys hold them off. We get to overtime. And then to have that start in overtime, that just means even more. That's pretty fascinating.
Even this too, they'd played 3 games and had a consistent starting lineup. And I thought they're, you know, arguably best, or at least one of their for sure most talented kids. I'm drawing a blank on his name. He took 21 shots. Clark, maybe?
Aaron Clark.
Wake Forest transfer.
Yeah.
Good player. 6'4", combo, talented, shifty, coming off the bench. So guess what happens? You don't get the starting lineups till the very last, like, 10 minutes before the game. They started him.
He started him, yeah.
So that's like, oh, man, totally changed our plan. Like, again, so I said, hey, no big deal. So this guy goes here, 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 same thing, whatever it is, reminder here. And no panic, though. Okay, this is where they're starting. Okay, we know the personnel. But, like, it behind the scenes, I was like, ah, crap, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like the way we thought of it is that, you know, we could really corral their one creator. Now they're up to kind of two, maybe three creators, less sniper guys. And so it kind of changed the vision of what we were doing. But you can't panic on it. You can't control that.
You've had a lot of big, meaningful regular season wins. That one's got to rank pretty
high up there
because of everything that happened before and during this game, you know, that you couldn't control.
Division one road wins very hard. Division one, road wins money games. Division one road, you know, WCC teams. Huge. It's huge. It's again, it was our first Division one real game because, you know, Wyoming was exhibition. But I'm telling you, playing that Wyoming game helped us beat Pepperdine.
Yeah.
I know it. I know it. Like, and losing to Wyoming when I really felt like we should not have. It helped us. I mean, we were so confident going into that pepper. We came out up 8-1. We're up 41-31. We got it up 12. We had a catastrophic 6 points in 1 second. They banged a three on a scout mistake, went from 12 to 9, sloppy inbound pass. They got stolen full court, stolen finish, foul and one, 6 points in 1 second.
That's brutal.
That 12 went to six, and it never got back up. Then it was like 6-5, 6-2-3. You know, it just, then it was just a dogfight.
Well, and you survived it, and that's cool to be able to go, you know, for you to share that with us too a little bit of what goes into that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just don't think about, we just think that, you know, the game starting at this time, they're fine, they're going to get there somehow, but, you know, and if it's not on the broadcast that's documenting, oh, all this weather's going on, and then you're kind of just at the mercy of after the fact. You can tell us after the fact.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So.
So all that being said, you guys are 3-0.
3-0.
3-0. You gotta be feeling good about it. And then, like we talked about, St. Thomas, Portland, Fullerton coming up this weekend in that tournament.
Man, we could be 3-3 when it's all said and done. We could be 6-0. These are all really hard games, but at the same point in time, these are all legitimate winnable games. So St. Thomas, as good of a non-conference mid-major team we'll play. You know, St. Thomas, Omaha, who's really, like, these are really good teams. Same as Pepperdine, but neutral. There won't be a soul in those stands. A team from Minnesota and a team from Colorado playing in Portland. There won't be a soul in those stands.
Just some random guy that's like a big basketball fan.
Some fans, a couple fans, but like, it's not going to be a crowd. And so like, and they're, I love their coach, man, Johnny Tower, like one of the best mid-majors in the country. They're really good. And they gave us their only non-conference loss at home last year in the Big Sky Summit Challenge. They are good. And so that'd be a great, great challenge. And then Portland, the host team, they were 3-0 and then they went to Wyoming. Wyoming beating pretty bad. I haven't seen the film, but they're good and they're home. And Shante Leggins, who was a Big Sky, you know, really legendary run at Eastern Washington before David Riley, and their progression of Jim Hayford to Shante Leggins to David Riley, that was all the same family, the same tree. So it was like 8 years of dominance in the Big Sky. He was a huge piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Portland. And then Fullerton, out of the Big West. I have no idea. Like, I heard they play fast or physical, but it's not even like 3 days. It's a 5 p.m. tip. I think the next day is a 5 p.m. tip. It's an 11 a.m. tip. So if my math's right, that's basically like 36 hours.
Wow. That's going to be
brutal.
That's going to be brutal.
But it's brutal for all of us, right? So
are these games, coach? I'm just looking. I know the Portland game is on. Are these all going to be on ESPN Plus? Okay. Cause
should
it just says Portland ESPN Plus. I didn't see it on St. Thomas Fullerton, but I'm guessing
so. I would assume all ESPN Plus. We got a chance, but it's a game at a time. So all folks on St. Thomas, we get through that. Then it's a mad dash scramble for Portland. Then it's an even madder dash scramble for Fullerton because such a tight window. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we're getting to that point, man. You know, and then we approach kind of the holiday schedule too.
Yep.
We're not that far away from that. I know you guys play. You got CU a couple days after Christmas,
right?
And then New Year's Day, you start Big Sky Conference play.
Yeah.
I'm already like looking at that stuff. Like, you know, I get this feeling, man. We're talking a lot about the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Avalanche. You know, the big three are just killing it right now. Nuggets lost last night as we do this on Tuesday. But what I was bringing up yesterday was, that's awesome and I love it. But the college basketball scene in our region, I mean, CU's doing some crazy things. Yep. CSU looks really good. Wyoming looks really good. And this Bears team, per usual, it seems like, looks really good. So, yeah, while all the pro sports are rocking, the college basketball scene around here is really fun.
Definitely, definitely, for sure. So, no, it's definitely exciting. And, yeah, just for us, you know, game at a time. But I really like our team. I like how we're kind of morphing. We can play big, small, traditional. And I know that no matter how things go right now, our best version of ourselves is down the line. We're nowhere near maxed out because we have so many young guys. You know, Arik, Ring, Ibu, not young, but young in the system. Egan, Vince, all these guys that as they continue to learn and, you know, hopefully we stay healthy and this and that, like, we will get better and better and better.
I'm excited to see what this tournament shows more on this Bears team. Quick trivia for you.
Yep.
Brock Wisney, we do the Brock Wisney show on Mondays. He's doing his game ball of the game, every game. He's giving out a game ball.
Oh, he's giving a game
ball? He's not going to give it to himself,
but
he's going to give it to somebody. I'm going to see if you can guess. There's only two guys that have had a game ball. One's got two at this point. Who do you think those guys are? I'm putting you on the spot. I can give you numbers, too.
So you had a game ball for the last week, for the Colorado games.
Yeah, for the...
I would say that one went to Zach.
Which one?
Last week?
Yes. Yes, because of all the crazy threes.
And then I would say the obvious answer would be Quinn, but I'm going to say Ring.
He's wanting to give it to Ring. He was toy, but he did give it to Quinn.
Yeah.
So Quinn's got two. Zach's got one so far.
Okay, I got you. Okay, good. Yeah, so let's keep playing that game.
Yes, I'm going to see if they sync up.
Okay, good.
Well, and again, Brock, I said, Brock, you got to give yourself one. I said, what if you get like 30 points? Okay, crazy. And he goes, then I would credit the guy who's giving me the assist. Like, that's typical Brock,
and
it seems like.
And that's true Brock. That's not even fake. That's true. That's he's a humble servant, man.
Well, I was giving it because he said, I think Ring's going to get the next one. That's what he said last week's show. And I said, well, you have to be honest, though. You can't just say, hey, you wanted that guy to get it.
Yeah.
And then you give him the game ball. And then Quinn Danker goes and gets 26 points. He's like, okay, yeah, pretty obvious. We got to go with Quinn.
Yeah,
right,
that's, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. And Brock has been... Brock has been a lot of fun to talk to. He's been really easy. But he did not go in on the travel situation. So I got to give him a hard time on that Monday.
Let him know.
I got to bust him up about that one.
That's it.
Be careful. He's a little bit bigger than I am. Yeah. So you got to be careful there. Coach, appreciate you going there with me on that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that story was great. We wish you the best of luck this coming weekend.
We're excited.
Friday night. Can't wait.
Yep.
That'll be on my big screen. All that stuff ready to go. Let's watch some Bears basketball.
Let's do it, man.
All right, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Brady.
We'll talk to you soon.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!